This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
They don't want to admit they're bad. They want to say they're good, and they're trying to fight this worldly urge. But the fact is, it's not the world. It's not the culture. It's not society. It's you. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast, episode 223. Got my favorite man, Bernie, here, one of my best friends for decades, and a frequent guest on the podcast.
It's an honor, privilege every time. I don't take it lightly.
I could tell you mean that because you drive an hour to get here.
Yeah, it's a privilege, and it's so cool. I remember this whole invitation kind of started with me. I don't know if you remember this, like me and you and Leslie and Amber were just sitting around, and we were basically doing what we're doing now, and I think it was Amber was like, "Yeah, you should have Bernie on the podcast." It was like, you just do what you're doing. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. Yeah. So, yeah, man. And then it turned into this.
Yeah. So, y'all, what we do, we answer y'all's questions. And I do not know what I'm about to read. That's it's intriguing for me. I'm actually excited. Just as I sit here, I'm like, man, I have no idea what we're about to get into on this episode. No clue. I don't see them at all. I used to at least sort them. I don't even sort them. I've got Ant-Man producing this thing now, so he sorts them. And I just literally pull it up on this little screen right here. And if you want to get on this little screen right here, email podcast@grangersmith.com. Podcast@grangersmith.com. Submit your questions. It goes to Ant-Man, and you may even want to tell him, hey. But then everything after that is what I'm about to read. First question comes from Dalton. And it says, "Hey, Granger, I've been a longtime watcher of the Smiths and been a fan of you for a long time. I'm interested to hear your opinion on tattoos as a Christian, since that could be a dicey subject. I'm aware that you obviously have some meaningful tattoos, and I also have one that I got from my best friend that passed away in a car accident in February. I appreciate all you do and look forward to attending another sermon next time you're in Columbus." Burns, you got a tattoo?
I do. I got a couple, yeah.
I don't think it's a dicey question subject.
I think culturally maybe there's like, I don't know, everything's polarizing these days. Yeah. It's like, well, if you don't believe this, then you must believe that. And it's like, well, no, there's nuance to life. And there's, so I think that's probably what he meant by dicey. Like, if you say this, then.
Yeah, so you said if you believe this and you must believe this, if you don't believe, right?
Well, no, people tend to think, well, if you don't believe this, then you must believe that. And it's like, well, actually, maybe I don't believe either of those things.
Yeah. And the other idea is similar to that is when, hey, Mr. Christian, speaking from, you know, outside, hey, Mr. Christian, you can't pick and choose what you want to believe out of the Bible. And if you believe this, then you need to believe that. And if you don't believe that, then you shouldn't believe anything else in the Bible, right? And that's a false statement. Because we're called from the Bible itself, as it testifies to itself, to rightly divide the word of truth. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Well, it means we have to understand the context of everything we read. We have to. God intentionally meant everything that's included in the Bible for an intentional reason. And that intention doesn't always go straight to us. For example, God commanded Noah to build an ark. That doesn't mean that we're commanded to build an ark. He commanded Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree. Well, he doesn't have any trees that he's commanded us not to eat from. So there's many examples like that where we have to understand, okay, hang on, let's rightly divide the word. It's all truth, all of it, but let's rightly divide it into what we're supposed to take today. And if we're talking about biblical tattoos, we'll start with the context of the Mosaic Law, which has to be rightly divided into ceremonial and civil and moral. So if you take those three aspects of the old Mosaic Law, then you have to go, okay, there were certain parts of the law that were civil. It's like, this is the law of the land. It's like speeding. You don't speed. Okay. And then you've got which, by the way, speeding changes over generations. A civil law is not the same in different civilizations. It changes. So you have to pay attention to the civil law in that place. And then ceremonial. The people at the time were under ceremonial law for certain reasons that we are just not under today. One of those reasons, there's many, but one of them, tattoos, is a good example of one that they were called to be holy. The Bible says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Holy meaning separate, separated, different. You should be different. And tattoos were a symbol at the time of the paganism of the nations around Israel. So one of the laws was, don't mark yourself. Because that's what the pagans do. And you know how you want people to know you're different and you want to know you're different? Don't get those tattoos, because that deliberately means that you're one of them, not one of us. Okay? That's easy. And then there's the moral law. The moral law, do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Oh, it's actually do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not lie. Do not steal. All that stuff. Do not make idols. Okay? Those are the moral law that still lasts today. We still abide by that law today. So all that being said, that's rightly dividing the truth, understanding the context of how this stuff was given. And that's why you might think that this is a dicey subject. It's actually not. But after all that, this is what I typically say. I'd get these emails quite a bit on the podcast. I typically say, today, as I read this podcast, I do not want to get any more tattoos. I'm not saying I will not, but I'm saying I have no desire and I would not recommend it to anyone, because not because it's unbiblical or because it's not pleasing to God. I'm not going to go there. It's too deep. I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to say it's a permanent mark on your body for probably a temporary feeling that you're having. Mm-hmm. So although I do have some, and I don't regret them, I would say don't get tattoos.
Yeah.
That was a long answer, dude. I'm sorry.
This may be a time that me and Grizz disagree.
Great.
What?
Bring it.
What?
Bring it.
No, not really. But I'm okay with tattoos. You want to get one? I think that what you said is important. Don't make this a permanent decision based on a temporary feeling. Okay? I got buddies that have, you know, cartoon character tattoos that they just don't really love those cartoon characters the way they did it one time. It's like, I probably shouldn't have done that. Both of the tattoos that I have are very sentimental, very meaningful, and I do not regret doing them. And that's how you kind of want it to be.
Yeah.
I think they're awesome. I love asking people about them, you know, the connection that you can find with people and the conversation starters. And so, I'm going to differ a little bit maybe and say, yes, make sure that, you know, you know what it means because if you get the Chinese writing that you don't know what it means and it's like an insult to Chinese people, like that's on your body forever. So make sure you know like all of what it is that you're doing. But I think it's interesting that he's asking this, but he already did it, or he already has
yeah,
one.
Yeah, he's so looking to justify it.
Yeah, so hopefully he doesn't have like a cartoon or Chinese writing he doesn't know. No, what
he says he says it's his friend that passed away.
Yeah,
in a car accident.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I've got the same stuff, man. We're you and I, Dalton, we're in the same boat. And so yeah, I'm not saying I don't agree with tattoos and over spiritualizing tattoos. I'm not saying yeah. I'm just saying as a general advice that I'm gonna give from this microphone on this chair, not yours, I'm just gonna say, hey, just don't.
So are you telling me we're not going to get matching tattoos after this?
We still might.
I thought we were still going to get matching tattoos.
The next question is from Anonymous. Says, I'm a 21-year-old girl still living at home. I have three sisters, and we have quite a few years apart in age between us all. I've especially never been close to my older sister, and it's been a burden to me recently, and I'm tired of putting energy or thought into it. She's a single, quiet introvert, and we are quite different. She never has been the open type and doesn't put effort into my life. And what I do point out is that I just keep praying about it, and I want to let go of that burden, and it's all on me right now. I think a friendship needs to be a two-way street. Oh, I get it. I have the fear that the distant relationships in our family is going to continue when or if I have a family myself. And I have quite a few hard things that have happened in my life and that have shaped the way I think. Here's the question. How do I move forward in a healthy way when I see things differently than my own family and I don't feel I'm heard when I share my feelings? I love your podcast and how you're not afraid to be brutally honest, but it's all in love. Okay, do you understand Anonymous here?
I'm tracking enough to kind of answer the question, I guess. Why don't you just recap and then hit the question?
So she's 21, yeah. Still lives at home, three sisters.
She's the oldest.
They're all very different. And that difference and that distance is now a burden to her. She feels a weight about that. But she's also tired of trying to repair things and trying to pull the family together. She feels like she's not heard when she's trying to do it. And she has a fear that's only going to get worse. And she also, what is the one part she said? She thinks she's the only one, and trying to find the one part where she's going on about how this is all about her, basically.
Yeah, all about her. That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Okay, so that I got it. All right, what do you say to Anonymous here?
Yeah, I think I appreciate where you're at and you care enough to email in. People are just weird, man. People are annoying, and family especially, like human beings, we are just like very different, annoying people. And if you live with somebody or get close enough to them, you're going to realize exactly how annoying they are.
Yeah.
And how odd and weird and challenging they are. Just we're people. So I think my thought to her is, just try to put on that lens of gratitude and focus on the good in them, the gift of relationship and family. And maybe that kind of ushers in the grace that you can have for them when you're, have different thoughts or different, and really you're just as messed up as they are. So that's the bottom line.
Like, yeah, that's good. The thing is,
and so am I.
We all deal with this. I deal with it. For sure, the idea that I just want to be heard. I want to ask you, like, do you want to be heard or do you want to fix this relationship? Because those might be two different things. You say, I don't feel like I'm heard when I share my feelings. And I see things different than they do. was this ever about you or repairing a family? Because you might not be able to get both of those things. Like you might not be able to repair this and be heard and share your feelings and they all think you're amazing. So repairing the family might be saying, I'm going to deny myself a little bit here and just say, I love you guys. How could I serve?
Yeah.
What can my role in the family be?
Yeah. Grace and move on to a place where you do have a little bit healthier communication habits and you're in a better place. Because then I think if you focus on that, you focus on them and serving them and listening to them, I think they may actually hear your feelings a little bit better. Right?
Yeah. I mean, you got to find them where they are.
Yeah.
And here's an example. Say one of them is like really into volleyball and you're as far from a volleyball player as anyone could be. Well, what if she's out in the backyard, hypothetically, and she's just hitting the volleyball up against the house? You might want to walk out there and just go, hey, you need a partner? Hey, how do I put my hands? How do you do that? You put your thumbs like this and will you show me how to hit that? You're coming to her level. You're meeting her where she is. And you're just breaking all the barriers by doing that. Mm-hmm. And inside, you're thinking, I hate volleyball. This is so stupid. It's cold out here. Why are we doing? Just deny all that and go, this is about repairing a relationship. That's what you wanted to begin with. Meet them where they are and then watch the barriers break.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now. Meaningful Beauty, beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
When Amber and I started getting serious and dating, I wrote her a song. And then whenever we got married and we needed a first dance for our wedding, I wrote a song for that. And then I remember we got pregnant with London and I wrote London a song. And that's always what I've done. It's what I've always done and what I still do today. And those songs have been and still are so special to me. But I realize that not everyone can just write a song. But that doesn't mean that you still don't have access to an original song for a special event or for a special someone in your life. Let me explain. This is where Songfinch comes in. They could actually write you a song. A real songwriter can write you a song unique to your own relationship. Whatever you need it to be written about, this songwriter could craft it special and unique just for you. You know, even something as simple as I love you. That message can sometimes be hard to say, but you could say it through the gift of a song. Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and you know flowers might not even cut it this year, and neither will bears or chocolate or perfume. But with Songfinch, you can give the gift of a memory they'll never forget. What you're going to get is an ultimate gift to show how much you care, an original studio-quality song inspired by your story that's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Songfinch walks you through four simple steps in this process to create an original song. And all you have to do is tell them who the song is for, provide, you know, some personal details, let them know the type of song you want, then pick your favorite Songfinch artist or get matched with one if you don't know who that is. And they'll pour their heart into songwriting, recording, producing your original song in just like 4 to 7 days. That's a week time. That's super easy and worth it for you. What's better is they guarantee that you'll love the song, and if you don't, they'll work with it until you do. This is what they do. Over 300,000 songs they have written. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song on Spotify for free so you could listen to your new favorite song anywhere you go. Go to songfinch.com/Granger and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free. That's a $50 value. This offer is only available for my listeners at my special URL. That is songfinch.com/Granger. That's songfinch.com/Granger. Don't wait. Get started now. Next question is from Travin. It says, "Hey Granger, I'm 33. I'm from Florida. Just wanted to say it's inspiring to watch you battle through adversities. It's been a blessing to watch the Lord and his strength carry you through to where you are now. I enjoy all that you do to serve the Lord and preach his kingdom. I too went through a painful loss in January 2020 as my mom passed away. While it's far different from what you went through, it was very deep hurt for me. It crushed me, far greater than I ever could comprehend at the time. It came only a year after divorcing my college sweetheart and losing my home to a Category 5 hurricane. For so long, I was in a dark place. I was angry with God. I couldn't make sense as to why he allowed me to hurt so much. By his grace, I currently see light that I'm running to. I honestly just need some encouragement, man. Some days, I feel so numb. I started back on antidepressants, and they're helping me, but it's a battle. I could use some encouragement." Okay, let me back up here. Always have to clear something up anytime I see this, and I see it quite a bit. I always have to clear up the one sentence you wrote where you said, "While it's a far different pain than what you went through, It's still a very deep hurt for me." I got to say, hang on a second. It's always relative. Pain is relative to what you're going through in your life. I didn't know your mom, so therefore, I didn't love your mom. You loved your mom. You didn't love River. I think that's what you're talking about. And therefore, you can't understand that either. So it's all relative, but pain is pain. So I have not lost my mom. Bernie has. I have not lost my mom. So I can't relate to what you're saying, but I do know that the pain is pain, loss is loss, love is love, and losing someone that you love equals grief, okay? So let's just establish that you didn't hurt less than me, okay? You wrote, "It crushed me far greater than I ever could have comprehended at the time." That is a powerful sentence, by the way. That is powerful. And then it came after you divorced your college sweetheart. After losing your home to a Category 5 hurricane.
Yeah. Did they leave a name?
Travin.
Travin. Okay. I think if what you're looking for, Travin, is encouragement, man, you should be encouraged to go through what you have been through and to still, as you said, see the light and be walking towards it and moving towards it. I think that that's pretty awesome, man. And to be writing in to Granger, to be able to have the courage to be vulnerable enough with your story, It takes a lot. And so I hope you're encouraged to just keep one day, one moment at a time, man, practice the presence of God at each step of the way for him to walk with you. Yeah, man, I'm encouraged by hearing this. So
we got a similar question last week, Bernie. Travin says, I was angry at God. I couldn't make sense as to why he allowed me to hurt so much. Now, we answered that question last week, Travin, and I could send you to that episode. It was episode 222. And I'm going to answer it a different way now. I'm going to give you a new answer that has nothing to do with the answer I gave last week about why we should, answering the question of, I'm angry at God, why would he allow me to hurt? And I'll answer it in the form of one of my favorite psalms, because I personally have found so much peace in the psalms and so much encouragement through the psalms, partly because we're listening to David, who is what we know as a man after God's own heart. And he just struggled. But he had a godly struggle that's a good model for us. He suffered, but he had a good godly suffering, and he suffered well. So you're not promised as a Christian that you're not going to suffer. In fact, if you ever hear that, that's a huge lie. If someone says, follow Jesus and all your suffering will be over, Christians laugh. It's like, no. Sometimes, a lot of times, it's the opposite. In fact, giving up your life for Christ, denying yourself, which offers eternal life and offers so much hope and peace and joy, giving up yourself stings a lot. So there's a lot of pain and suffering that goes through that. Let me read Psalm 13. You could hear David. I want you to hear how he suffers well. I also want you to hear how he asks the same questions you're asking. And then I want to show you how, even though that's the way he feels, I want you to see how he reconciles the way he feels with what he knows of who God is. It's just six short verses. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I trust in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And you see these kind of psalms throughout all the happy psalms. You see the lamenting ones, and then you see the ones that attempt to question God. And it's just great how the Bible gives us this roadmap of, oh, you think you're alone? You think you're the only one that has suffered through loss and loss of a home and loss of a loved one, a sweetheart? You think you're the only one that has felt anger, maybe at God, and wondered why he would allow you to hurt so much? And then we get back in his word and we go, oh man, we're not alone. Mm-hmm. We're not alone. We're so far from it.
Man, Psalm 13, that's a good one. That's a good one to point him to. I'll just give you a practical from that, because I know from experience that what we look at and what we listen to really dictate a lot of our heart posture and our minds, right? What we think about. So one of my favorites, Shane and Shane, did a psalm album a long time ago, and they did Psalm 13. They wrote a song, and just listen to that album of all of these psalms, because that is a similar cry, you know, throughout that, throughout Psalms and throughout that record. But that song in particular of Psalm 13, just put it on repeat when you're driving, and let that just kind of like be what you meditate on and what you think of. So when you start to kind of go here in your mind, you're like, no, he's been good to me. Like, and you're not the first one to suffer, and all of those, and just be open. Like, man, what is God going to like speak to me through that? So easy way to just keep it.
Yeah, that's a great
the
idea.
Front of mind.
That's a great idea. That's a great record. What's interesting is that when you think about Psalm 13 or the many psalms that are laments or questions to God or wrestling with God, what's interesting about it all, it's like you go, how could these people, why is that good to wrestle with God? Well, the answer usually is you're in communication with him. You're bringing it to him. That's what he wants. Bring it to me. You got questions? Don't go try to find it in the world. Bring it to me. Ask me, how will I leave you forever? How long will I hide my face from you? Ask me. Come to me. Mm-hmm. Join me in fellowship. Get on your knees. Cry to me. Because when you do that, you're in a relationship. We're directly talking. We're communicating. And that's often forgotten.
Oh, for sure.
Sometimes it's like, God, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
But you're talking to him.
Yeah. It's almost like there's this, we're presenting a lack of faith if we ask the hard questions. And it's like, no, I want to believe even deeper.
Yeah.
And if I ask and I wrestle, that's how I'm going to get to the deeper. So go and ask those questions for sure. Mm. Wrestle.
Mm. Bernie asked a question earlier on where did the word podcast come from? I have no idea. I looked up a history of the word podcast. And I can't immediately see the answer. So I would say, comment below if you're listening on a platform that allows you to comment. Someone look it up for us and find out the history of the word podcast. Be interested. Speaking of podcast, if you have a question for me, email podcast@grangersmith.com. And this question comes from Alex. It says, "Hey Granger, I'm a longtime fan of you and the podcast. I'm 30 years old, and in 2018, I married my wife, whom I was with for 10 years at the time, and we had a beautiful little girl together. Throughout our relationship, I had a hard time being faithful to her, and we ended up getting divorced. In 2020, I met the love of my life and the most amazing woman. We are so happy together every single day. After being together 3 years, I went to a concert with some of my buddies, and there was a woman that was sitting next to me, and we were having a good time during the show, and I ended up getting her number, and some things were said. My girlfriend saw these texts. Knowing my past, she left me. She is the love of my life, and all I want is to be with her. Something just comes over me, and I make these horrible decisions, and they end up flipping my world upside down. I'm not a bad man. I just don't know how to stop these mistakes. I don't want to cheat. I don't want to be this man." Alex. I mean, that's a good one, man.
So no real question in there, right? Just a like confession.
That's a good question. Like, it's a good confession because
yeah.
Don't think I've ever seen a question quite like this one.
That's true.
And it's impossible, Alex. It's impossible for me to give you a good, it's not a question, so I don't know if I should say answer or analysis of this without heavily leaning on my biblical worldview. Same with Burns. And there are a couple things from my biblical worldview that just scream at me from this email. And one of them is, and it's probably definitely not the thing you're thinking about, but here it is. This one line says, "I'm not a bad man." Now, what's crazy about that is that's the common understanding. In fact, Luke Bryan has a song. Have you ever heard that song? It's like
Granger Smith's the only country singer that I used to listen to. He retired though.
Luke Bryan has a song called it's called something like "I Believe All People Are Good." It's this idea like I believe all people are good. We're mostly good, and that is. It's a common idea, and most people think that. Most people that think they're good are most people that think that most people are good. And Alex is one of them, and he says, "I'm not a bad man." And so he's trying to reconcile this. Like, as I'm watching the struggle in the email, mm-hmm. It's like, man, I'm trying to wrestle with the idea that I'm not bad. I'm good. but I just don't know how to stop making these mistakes. What's going on? I'm not crazy, Granger. But I don't understand how a good man, like, there's bad men out there. That's what he's insinuating.
It's almost like this standard of good and bad, yes, that is, and he doesn't mention anything about God or Jesus or a biblical worldview, right? He doesn't. Yeah, so his standard or his idea, his worldview of what good and bad is probably going to be very different than.
I know, it's great. And hey, Alex, I love you, bro. And I'm really glad you asked this in this way so that we could answer it in this way, because it's really important to talk about. You say, I'm not a bad man, insinuating that there must be bad men. There must be people that are like child traffickers and rapists, murderers, bank robbers. There must be some guys like in the hills of South America that are doing really bad things. Hey, I'm just going to a concert, getting this girl's number. And I like beautiful women. Hey, how do you fault me on that, guys? I love beautiful women. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's really important for us to kind of reel this in, because you emailed this podcast under this biblical worldview. And here's what the Bible says. No one is good. Not even one, the Bible says. All of you have gone astray. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of you. That's a crazy thought. And the opposite of the world. And so instead of like this grading on a curve, like there's these really bad men in South America that do these horrible things in child trafficking. And then there's these men that like rob banks. That's the second tier. And then there's like the third tier that's like the drunk dad that neglects his children. And then here's where I am. I'm like the fourth tier. And that's like just can't really stay faithful to a girlfriend. So I'm not bad. The Bible says, no, all of you are bad. All of you. All of you are sinners. Oh, even you priests, even you monks, even you Buddhists climbing the mountain in the Himalayas, you're all bad. And we go, what? What? But our own conscience agrees that this is true, because the reason the monks climb those mountains is because they feel it in them. Mm-hmm. They feel the evil in them, and they're trying everything they can to eradicate it and try to meditate long enough, or try to be good long enough, or try to sacrifice enough things, or to try to read enough of scripture, or try to deny themselves women. Like that's another bad thing. To try to say, I'm just going to be celibate. You know, like I'm not going to be with any women ever. I'm just going to be single. These are all things that man creates to try to fight against the urge that they are bad. They don't want to admit they're bad. They want to say they're good, and they're trying to fight this worldly urge. But the fact is, it's not the world. It's not the culture. It's not society. It's you, Alex. You need to hear this. You are bad. And I could say that because I have the same disease. It's called sin. We inherited it from our ancestors. And there's no way you're born, not one human is born without it. In fact, do you have kids? Yeah, you have a beautiful little girl. I guarantee you, if you saw her at 2 years old, you knew she was a sinner and she was born with it. There's not even a child that is good. There's innocent children. There's a difference between innocent and sinful. And children are sinful, man. Mm-hmm. They're born with it. So that's the worldview that's like the groundbreaking idea that's going to just shatter this whole email right at the bat. We go, yeah, we knew you were bad. You're the only one in this table right here, Alex, that didn't know you were bad. You didn't know that your flesh, this lustful idea that your flesh is reaching out to these women, you thought that was something the world was doing to you because of culture. Maybe you're blaming it on porn, or you're blaming it on Instagram because it showed you, or you're blaming it on this concert. These friends took me, this girl is so beautiful, and I'm going to blame it on her, like the Muslims blame it on the women. Like, you shouldn't dress like that. Cover up. Because I don't want to look at you, because I don't want to, indulge my flesh because I can't help it. If I see you, if I see more than your eye slits. Mm-hmm. And so with that, this is taking a long time. I'm sorry. But I love this idea though, because this is what the world says. Mm-hmm. And contrary to the world, the Bible says, because of your sin, you can't be with God. You're out. You're disqualified. You want to be with God? Here's how you get to be with God. Be perfect. Your heavenly Father's perfect, so you should be perfect. That's how you get to heaven, by being perfect. Oh, wait a minute. Alex, you've already failed. I'm sorry, man. You're not going to make it to heaven. Bernie, are you perfect?
No.
Me neither.
So
we failed.
One thing you just said, though, you said, this is how you're going to get to heaven.
Yeah.
I don't know if he wants to go there.
That's true,
I don't know if he believes in that. I don't know. I think all he's trying to do is not cheat on his girlfriend, or like get a girlfriend and keep him.
Okay, let's go there.
So
build that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not saying I can without the one without the other.
Alex, we're slowly building this story for you. And what we're trying to say is, you're screwed, dude. Because you want to have eternal life in the presence of your creator in heaven. You got to be perfect, mm-hmm. and you've already failed it. Okay. So the only alternative to going to heaven is hell. You don't want to go there. This life is short. It's fleeting. It's a vapor. It's gone. So you better get it while you can. And you might as well just cheat on every girlfriend and get it while you can, because you've already screwed, and you've screwed yourself out of any opportunity after this besides eternal punishment, eternal wrath. That's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. Is that good enough to get him thinking about?
Yeah, man.
So I got something to tell you, though. I do have good news. I'm in the same boat, Alex. And so is Bernie, and so is every other man and woman that have walked on this planet since Jesus. No one is perfect. We're all bad. So God knows this. So God, in his love for his people, because he knows that he's perfect, he can't, if heaven is this perfect place, it can't have you, Alex. It would ruin it. You're a cancer. You can't be in heaven. You're a disease that can't be there. Otherwise, it's not heaven anymore. It's corrupted. So God knows this. He knows you're corrupted. He knows you have this cancer, this disease, and he knows I do too. So in his love, he goes, all you people, all you sinners that have rejected me, that have turned from my way, I'm going to give you a way to get to me. I'm going to give you a way that you cannot earn to get you in heaven without you being perfect. You need to be perfect to get here. I'm going to give you perfection, a gift. It's a gift of grace. I'm gifting you, the Bible calls it righteousness. We can call it goodness. I'm going to give you the goodness that it requires to get here. And I'm going to do it through my son, through his righteousness, his perfection, his goodness, not yours. You don't have it. But I'm going to give it to you through him if you believe. Turn from yourself. Turn from your ways. Look to him. He died on the cross for the sins of people just like you, Alex. Look to him, and he forgives. He heals. He redeems. And then what happens after that is crazy. If you believe, if you are a child of God after that, through repentance, which means turning from yourself and looking to him, if you do that, something changes in you in a way that you start to hate that sin. Mm-hmm. It doesn't totally go away, at least not at the beginning. But when that girl at the concert shows up and you start talking, something inside you goes, oh, this is disgusting. I hate mm-hmm. this. My flesh wants to do it, but I don't like it. So I can't do it. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I got to tell you, girl, I actually have a serious girlfriend, someone I love. So I'm so sorry, but no, I'm not going to take your number. And then you're going to go, what has happened? Why am I so different now? What's going on with me?
And also, before you would even get into that situation, that you would have to tell that girl that, what he also gives us is community, biblical community, of, you know.
Accountability.
Yeah. Well, Granger, what if I told you, like, oh, yeah, man, I'm going to go to this concert by myself, and there's going to be a bunch of pretty girls there, and probably going to drink and, like, just dance with them, and you're going to be
and you have a history.
Yeah. You're going to be like, bro, no, me and you are going, you know, to do whatever else that we could do. We're going to go fishing. We're going to go camping. We're going to do something different because you know that that's a bad idea. And I'd be like, oh, dude, you're right, man. That's a bad idea. Iron sharpening iron.
Boom.
So, yeah, I think that hear that message. And I think that there's a hopefully a community that you are a part of, if you're not, that you become a part of, that can walk alongside you in that journey. So,
hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life.
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Next question comes from Anonymous. It says, I have had a crush on a girl for almost 3 years now. I haven't told her. I know her.
3 years?
Yeah. That's a long time to not tell her. I know her family well, and I've spent time with her a lot. There's a lot that won't fit into this email that would help the story more. I am feeling like it's time to tell her. Since I'm positive that she likes me because of many different things that have happened, and we could start dating shortly after. My question is this. Should I tell her parents that I like her for them to tell me to do what's best? And since they deserve to know, since it's their daughter, or should I just tell her? Also, there are so many different things that have happened to me that makes me think that she likes me. I still have a fear of her rejecting me, which would cause me so much heartbreak and pain because of how much I truly love her and everything that I've done for her. How should I go about...
We jumped from having a crush on her to, like, deeply loving her really quick, man.
How should I go about doing these things, telling her these things if she is going to reject me? I try to trust God, but it just the thought of her rejecting me still concerns me. Thank you, Granger.
All right. Bro, I love you, man. Like, I hear the youth in your voice, and I love it. I love you're asking the questions. I would have never thought of that question that you asked, but man, I think it's brilliant. Talk to her parents. Like, I think Vodi Bakum, we listened
Vodi Bakum says that.
Yeah, like, talk to her parents and tell them your intention. A lot of people wait until they're going to ask them to marry them to ask for the hand. It's like, well, shoot, I wish you would have asked me whenever you started because I would have said no, and now I got to tell you no now. It's going to be awkward. And no, but I think if you go to the parents... And you share with them, look, me and Jenny, we've been really close for these 3 years. I feel like she likes me. I got these little, you know, she's flirting. She did this. And I kind of want to tell her how I feel about her and maybe date her. What do you guys think about that? And that's going to tell you a lot.
Yeah.
Because they know their daughter. And mom may look at you and be like, bro, no, don't do that. She likes Johnny. She's been in love with Johnny forever. And you're going to save yourself a lot of embarrassment. And you can just tell the parents, okay, keep this between us. And then you can just go on being a friend and looking for somebody else. But they could also affirm and be like, she talks about you all the time.
Yeah.
You probably should totally tell her and you guys date. And we appreciate you. You're going to, let's say you do go on to marry this love of your life. You're going to build some trust with those parents and a foundation. It's going to be great. So,
yeah, man, if in doubt, just tell them. There is Vody Bachum actually wrote a book about it. But I think he speaks a lot like on YouTube about it. But I remember when I first got into that idea, I was telling London this, my daughter. And from the perspective that Bernie and I both have daughters, from that perspective, it's like a no brainer. Oh, yeah, I would love that. Like selfishly as a father, yes. Tell me first. Don't tell her. Vody says he has trained his daughter to answer a boy that says, "Do you want to go on a date?" And the girl says, "What did my dad say?"
I'm taking that for sure.
So I started just putting that into London. So that's like, that's her reaction. What did my dad say? Next question comes from Megan. Says, "Hey Granger, I'm a junior high school student, which is the age at which everyone and their mother seems to be asking the dreaded question, 'So what are you going to do with your life?' Whereas I am forced to reply each time, 'I'm not quite sure yet.' I've gotten so much advice from so many people about my future, but I'm still left feeling uncertain and a little afraid to commit. I have put much prayer and tears into this topic, but I still feel as though I'm at a loss for the answer. How can I clearly hear what the Lord wants me to do? Does there have to be a deadline on this decision? And how do I know when people ask me about what my future holds? Sorry, that was a long question, but I know you'll do your best to answer and understand my side of things. Sincerely, Megan." Great question for Bernie today.
Well, I'm not sure if anybody listened to episode 222, but a very similar question led to my first breakdown on the podcast and left me in tears. So what does Granger seem to think about this?
Well, okay, I'm going to let you talk because you've got a lot of stuff to say, Burns. But yeah, for sure. But I'll just jump in quickly and say, let me give you an answer. This is a good answer. This is the good answer to quickly answer the question when someone says, "What are you going to do with your life?" or "What does your future hold?" Those are the two ways you worded it. And if you're a Christian, I love to say, "My future is none of my business."
That's good.
It's all in the Lord's hands. Hey, listen, Meg. I hope I can call you Meg. I knew Bernie at a pivotal time in his life, and he knew me in a pivotal time, younger versions of ourselves. And man, I mean, neither one of us were doing what we're doing now. Neither one of us planned on what we're doing now, and we couldn't have. So knowing what you're going to do with your life and your future is irrelevant to what you're actually going to do. I know, I recognize that the world wants to tell you that you need to have a plan. And look, at your age, the plan should be just make good grades. Diversify your hobbies. Love the Lord. Plant yourself in a really good church. Surround yourself with godly girls. Do those things. Like, that's enough of a plan for a junior high kid. Make good grades. Diversify your hobbies. Plant yourself in a good church and surround yourself with godly girls. Do that. That's your future. Everything else you say, it's none of my business.
Mm-hmm. That's good. She said something about still feeling uncertain. And I think that may just be a common thing that you feel like in life. There's just things sometimes we just feel uncertain. But God does call us to be bold and courageous. So there's in that uncertainty, sometimes you have to walk through, when I'm making decisions or trying to figure something out, sometimes I walk through these three different questions. What does the word say? Okay, is there any, between my options, is there an explicit direction that's given? Like, I want to do this. Well, the Bible specifically says, like, don't. So it's like, okay, well, I'm not going to do that. Okay, most of what you're probably dealing with is, you know, what does the word say about these options? What does the church say? So if you are amongst, you know, a community of people and you get to share with them, hey, you know, I want to do this or this, I don't know what to do, feel uncertain, and just listen to what they say. And then the last thing is, what do you want to do? Like, what's really, like, you feel your heart kind of like drawn to that thing, and then work towards being really good at that thing, whatever that path may be. I think what I said on the last one to a very similar question, though, it's the hardest thing. And I had a conversation with Stella, our 10-year-old, last week about this, when we don't know what to do. And what I was telling her is, like, we really need to just remove ourselves from distractions, do what Jesus did. And he often retreated to desolate places alone to pray. So find places to be alone. And, you know, it was an honest question. Like, sometimes, like, I just feel like hearing God's voice is hard, which makes praying hard. Like, I totally understand that. I don't know that solitude and retreat and meditation with God, and I don't think that that is like a pill. It's not a place you just go to, like, get a quick answer. It's just, it's a place that you constantly go to. It's a place that I, like, long to just go to, because I'm, like, kind of, I don't get it a lot of times. I'm like, God, you got to, like, help me here. I don't get it. So I go back to that place. And the more you go back to that place, the clearer that voice gets, the clearer that direction gets. If you go once for a prayer and an answer, it's just, it's not going to be the same. So it's this habit of getting to that place of quiet and still and prayer to give you some guidance. So I hope that's helpful.
I've recognized that I might have said something wrong at the beginning of this email. I might have read it wrong, but as I'm seeing it now, it says, I'm a junior in high school. Did I say that wrong? I don't know if I said junior high school. I'm in junior high.
She's in junior high.
No, she's a junior in high school.
Okay.
And I think I read it as she's in junior high.
Yeah, you mentioned something about
junior so high. I just want to clear that up for you, Megan. But the answer still doesn't change. And yeah, so what Bernie says is so profound, and he always motivates me and encourages me to find that wilderness. And what you're going to hear when you get into this wilderness, whatever that is in your life, what you're going to hear to the answer of what does the Lord want me to do is always a lot simpler than you think. Because you think, you're thinking in terms of college or nursing school, or do I take a year off, or you're thinking all these things. And that's why my counsel of just get good grades and you can kind of pivot on anything later. If you don't get good grades, that's not the end of the world either. But what you're going to find with the Lord, what he wants you to do, is he wants you to glorify him and enjoy him forever. Like, in the most simplest way, everything we do revolves around that. Everything. Glorify him and enjoy him forever. That's what he wants you to do. And within that, you'll find all kinds of peace and hope, joy and understanding, and these feelings of uncertainty just kind of go away when you glorify him and enjoy him forever. And that comes in all different forms. It comes in all of his things that he wants you to do are all in the Bible, and you'll see them everywhere. Ways to glorify him: telling people the gospel, sharing the gospel to someone on the street, to a stranger, to your mom, reading your Bible, like coming up with a reading plan, singing and praising on a Sunday morning with all the other saints in the pews around you, singing and praising in a quiet time in your own car with your headphones on by yourself. There's a thousand, Bernie and I could sit here in a thousand ways and tell you ways to glorify him. And that's what he wants you to do. And you could do it through jobs. You could do it through hobbies. But I want to tell you, don't over-spiritualize this question. What does the Lord want me to do? Is it community college? Is it, stop it. Unless it's, like Bernie said, unless it's a sin, you know, if it's like morally wrong, then the answer is obviously no to that. But I don't think you're asking anything that's morally wrong. You're trying to know, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I think that's the great place to come from. You are in the perfect heart position to just get on your knees and go, God, I want to serve you. I want to love you. I want to praise you. I want to tell others about you. I want to be all of this, not for me, but for you, God. Show me the path. Be the light to my feet so I know the way to glorify you. If you're in that kind of heart position, you got nothing to worry about. No uncertainty in your life, because you never know what phone call happens tomorrow, what email happens tomorrow, what new relationship comes into your life today. You don't know what he has planned. That's why at the very beginning I said, you tell people, the future's none of my business.
Yeah. That's so good, man. You, as you were talking, you just kind of gave me this like image of this person standing in front of this like huge brick wall, and Meg is coming down a ladder off of the roof of this really tall building with this huge brick wall, and she gets down to this person, and the person says, look at this, they used all these bricks to make this beautiful picture of these like enemies loving each other, or you know, like the, whatever the image is, just like, this is amazing. And Meg, you look up at the wall, you're like, wow, so that's what my life was about. I really was just putting one brick at a time as I was told.
Beautiful mosaic.
And then at the end, I think that's, we get so caught up in making our own mural and what we want our legacy and our life to be. But maybe it's just about listening to like, what's the next brick and the next one and the next one. And I think at the end of that, the hope is that God has done something that's like, this is who I am. I just use this person to lay these bricks. And that'd be pretty awesome. I would love at the end of my life for to stand with you and us look back and be like, didn't think he was drawing that picture.
Yeah.
Didn't think he was doing that. But wow, man, what grace. Man, right?
That's beautiful, man. What a beautiful way to end the episode, too. So we love you guys. We'll see you next Monday. Iggy. Thanks for joining me on the Granger Smith podcast. I appreciate all of you guys. You could help me out by rating this podcast on iTunes. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to this channel, hit that little like button and notifications bell so that you never miss any time I upload a video. Yee.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just two capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.